Father, what a time that we could just pray for your kingdom to manifest and for us to experience the reality of your kingdom within. The incredible victory of Jesus Christ and how Holy Spirit, your great power of life working within us, enabling us to experience the fruit of the kingdom, the reality of the rule of Christ within our lives, the rule of Christ over sin, the rule of Christ over fear, the rule of Christ over death, the rule of Christ over anxiety, the rule of Christ over so many things that we used to battle with while we were still in Adam, but we're in you, Lord Jesus. So we thank you, Father, for your incredible good news concerning your Son, Jesus, and how you've sent him to save us from our sin and experiencing the life of the Holy Spirit within us. But our prayer is not just for ourselves, Father. Today we lift up the people of our town, the people of Metsimaholo. Jesus, your blood has paid the price. And we just ask, Father, that the blood of Christ will be so prominent in the redempting, powerful work of Jesus Christ to touch the lives of men and women, of children, of all ages, that there will be an incredible turning away from a life of sin and turning to you, coming to you, Jesus, and being born again and coming into your kingdom, letting them experience the reality of your kingdom within their lives, the victory, the joy, the peace, the hope, the vision, purpose, destiny, identity. There's so much that you bring into our lives that we've never had before. We ask, Father, today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that all the deception will be broken away, that the chains that have bound the people will be broken and loosed from them, and there will be a coming to you, Father. Call them into your kingdom. Call them to you, Father. Reveal Jesus Christ to the people of Metsimaholo. And we thank you for this today. Holy Spirit, you wanted to share today with us. You wanted to share with us while we're here. You wanted to share with us kingdom purpose. You wanted to share with us how do we live in the reality of the kingdom of God. And we want to thank you as we listen to you today, as you again, as we said earlier on, as you take from Jesus and you make it known to us what's on the very mind and what our Lord Jesus wants to teach us. Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the head of your ecclesia, of us over here. We come to you, Lord, to listen as you share and lead us and direct us so that the Father is glorified, so that his name is honored amongst the people, amongst the nations. And we thank you. Let today be a shaking. Let today be an earthquake amongst us. Let today be a day where anything that is confusing us and holding us back, anything that is in the way, let today be a day where by the power of your truth, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that will be exposed and broken away. And we are rising up, Lord Jesus, as this incredible righteous army of yours to go about doing your will to bring glory to our Father. So we ask us, Father, we're serious about this. We ask, Father, that there will be a seriousness established within our hearts. There will be a focus being established within our lives. There will be an understanding of what it is to have our hearts after you, our minds set upon you, what it is to have a heart after God. And this we ask, Father. We ask this today. We need it, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today, I was putting on my glasses this morning and the lens fell out, so we will, but it's fine. Turn with me to John chapter 3. As we start this morning, we're going to go on a bit of a journey. And I think today will be a day where there'll become a lot of understanding of what the Holy Spirit is busy doing within each and every one of us. Sometimes we just don't quite understand what's happening. And I think today will be a time of just clarifying God's truth, to clarify and just to help us to see what this is all about and what He's been sharing with us for some time now. We've been looking at the gift of righteousness and the incredible joy of us receiving and believing by faith to accept what Christ has given to us and entered into a life that the same life that Jesus had with the Father, the same relationship, the same love, everything, you and I now live in that same reality. But very often we have not yet received that by faith. We have not yet grown into that. And so we are on a journey where we are learning what it is to be established in this incredible kingdom of God and how to live in this kingdom of God, how to live as righteous men and women of and children of God. How do we live in this? How do we establish in this? So it's no longer just words, but it's life. I speak about righteousness. The last thing that I want to do is give you a doctrine of righteousness. I want you to live in the life of righteousness. You see, it's alive, it's living, it's powerful. It brings about sonship, identity, purpose. It brings about so much of reason for living, not just a intellectual stuff. So the Holy Spirit taking us into the very living reality of truth, just to taste and to experience it and learning how to get established in this so it becomes our life, life in the kingdom. And so that's where we're going. And here we see where Jesus, a well-known portion in John chapter 3, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And remember, he's a Pharisee and is a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God was not with him." Incredible statement, question, and conversation taking place here with Nicodemus. Because here we see he's not speaking about himself. He says, "We know." It is a member of the ruling Jewish council. So they know that this Jesus has come from God. They can acknowledge that. They see the signs that Jesus is doing and they realize that no one can do such signs if he is not sent by God. But they're seeing Jesus just as they recognize the prophets sent by God. So they see Jesus as another prophet. They see Jesus as a man. That's how they see Jesus. And so they recognize that God has sent him. And then Jesus goes and he replies and he says something profound. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. In other words, no one can see the rule of God in his son Jesus Christ unless they are born again. Otherwise, they'll see Jesus as just a man, a good man. So you could understand when Thomas and them, the disciples were saying in John 14, "Show us the Father." And Jesus says, "Don't you know? Don't you know the Father? Don't you know the way? It's the Father in me that's doing the work." You see, can you not see the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the reign of God, the operation of God in me, through the signs and the wonders? You've got to be born again to be able to see the incredible reality of God in his son Jesus Christ. And this is profound because a lot of people called Christians They do not see the reign of God in His Son Jesus Christ. They do not see the throne of God in Jesus Christ. They just see Jesus as an earthly man that was a good man sent by God. You've got to be born again by the Holy Spirit to be able to see the rule of God in His Son Jesus Christ. Very important this, that God is busy sharing with us here this morning. And so He said in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God, powerful, unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. And he goes on, flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it with everyone born of the Spirit. So not only do we get born again by the Holy Spirit, not only do we begin to see that in Christ, we can see Christ, the rule of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. Not only do we see Jesus as the Son of God, but we've also entered into the kingdom of God. We've entered into the kingdom of God because by the Holy Spirit, we've been born again. So this requires for us now to begin to renew the way we think. This begins to understand when we spoke last Sunday and the Sunday before, where now I need to now present, I need to now take my mind and I now need to present my mind to become a weapon of righteousness because I'm in the kingdom of God. So my mind must now be used as a weapon of righteousness because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness. I must not now give my mind become a weapon of this world and use it for unrighteous things because I'm no longer in this world. I'm in the kingdom of God. Let's carry on. John chapter 17. Here Jesus is praying and he highlights this fact of what happens when you and I get born again by the Holy Spirit. And this is what makes us as believers unique. Because here, many people in many religions will acknowledge Jesus as a prophet, but none will be able to see that he is divine and that it's God in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is God. And the rule of God and what Christ has done in destroying the power of sin. They cannot see that. Only us who are born again can know that and experience that. So Jesus is praying and he's speaking to his Father. And he says over here in verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. This is an incredible gift of righteousness that is, this is part of the fruit, the reality of righteousness. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore, more than I am of the world. Jesus said to Pilate, listen, my kingdom is not of this world. We have entered into a kingdom. Not only is the rule of Christ within us, but we've entered into the reality of the kingdom and he's teaching us how to live as a kingdom. So the very practical way that we've been looking at is simply, as we've been looking at, as we begin to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We'll get back there now. But here we see that Jesus is saying very, very clearly, he's speaking to the Father concerning us who have been born again by the Holy Spirit. My prayer, or let me go back, I've given them your word and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. That's you and I. This is where this is our dwelling place. We're in this world, but we're in the kingdom, just as Jesus is in the kingdom. That's why we need to now think differently. We'll come there now. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. And then he goes on and he says, sanctify them. And that's what we're busy looking at there in Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 6. Because when we offer ourselves and become slaves of righteousness, it leads to holiness. Can you see how to live in the kingdom? Can you see how we begin to really begin to put on the clothes of righteousness, being established in righteousness, putting off the old, putting on new, all those terms that the different writers of the New Testament use. And he says now, because they're not of the world, they're in the kingdom, been born again by the Holy Spirit, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. We can be Christians. And we can just be Christians. Or we can understand who we are in Christ Jesus. We can understand that we are in the kingdom of God. We can understand that just as the Father sent His Son Jesus into the world to manifest His kingdom, He has sent us into this world to manifest the kingdom of God. This requires a new way of thinking. This requires a new understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. This requires a radical shift of understanding what the body of Christ is all about. This requires us to be very, very careful that we don't go back into prison, into slavery. This requires us to begin to say, listen, I'm in the kingdom and my purpose, God has placed us in a town to advance the kingdom of God. Number one, to understand the heart of the Father in sending His Son so that the body of Christ can be the example of the rule of Christ within us. That's why we have been set apart. We are holy people. We're different. Paul and Peter would speak about we are aliens, strangers in the world, citizens of heaven. Different terminologies to describe the reality that we're no longer part of this world system. We're in a kingdom. We live in this world. It requires a new way of thinking. It requires a new way of how our heart responds to life and to situations because we're in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus now prays this prayer. And this prayer is being answered. This is why there's something happening in our lives. This is why in that song over there, there's a stirring taking place. There's a fire, there's a passion that's coming into our lives for the glory of God. It's very, very real. Worldwide, this is taking place. And we are responding and we are yielding to the Holy Spirit so that we can be not grieve the Holy Spirit, but walk with God in these things that He's busy directing and guiding us into. In 1 Peter, let's just go into that one there because it's also just from Peter's perspective, in 1 Peter chapter 1, let me go to chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Therefore prepare your minds for action. Therefore, prepare your mind for action. As we looked in Romans chapter 6, do not offer your bodies and the members of your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness, but now offer yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness, and offer every member of your body, offer your mind, your eyes, your ears, everything, your will, as to become now a weapon of righteousness for the glory of God. And he goes on and he says, Peter says now, therefore prepare your minds for action. And that's the shift. That's a repentance part now. Because maybe we might be in the place where we are, oh, you know, just to carry on. No. Prepare the mind for action. We're in a kingdom. God wants to work through each and every one of us. No excuses. No more saying, I can't do that or this and that or all those kind of excuses. It's a yes, Lord. You'll experience something profound. Maybe some of you are beginning to experience this now. But you will begin to find that as you continually just practice getting established of offering your mind to become now a weapon, and you're taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Jesus Christ, because it's a weapon of righteousness now. I'm not going to let my mind go into the darkness, into offense, into bitterness, into all those kind of things. I'm not going to offer my mind to become a weapon to destroy how I speak and my own emotions and destroy everything. No. Now, as I begin to practice this, what takes place? We looked at Romans 12 last Sunday, where we saw over there that come and offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing, which is the authentic worship unto God. And then it carries on. Then you'll begin to understand the perfect will of God. Now remember that. So what takes place as we begin to practice offering ourselves, as we begin to get established in this? You will begin to find the Lord's Prayer becomes so, so real. You'll begin to find something profound taking place where now it's our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. You'll begin to find that as you begin to operate like this, you'll begin to find there'll become a holy fire within you to see the name of God glorified. You will be so in zeal for the honor of the Father's name wherever we are. There will be a passion, there will be a focus, there will be a desire within each and every one of us. We'll be wanting to see the name of God glorified in our communities, in our lives, wherever we may be. It comes alive. Prepare the mind for action. Last Sunday was a battle in the spirit realm, and I won't go into that there. But today God is wanting to share something because the victory has been won. And so we see he carries on and he says, prepare your mind for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. And then he carries on and he says over there, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. And then he carries on and he says there in chapter 2, therefore rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted and see that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him. You also like living stones, powerful. Can you see the reality? Christ is the living stone, and we also are these living stones being built up in Him over there, being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, and it carries on, and then he speaks about this and he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are in the kingdom of God. This is Peter's explaining that reality, and he's using Old Testament concept. People belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light, taken out of the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, the kingdom of light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that they, although they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. So once again, we see the evidence. We see there's something profound as you and I are now getting established in the kingdom of God. Lord, you spoke to us about the law of the Holy Spirit. And we've accepted and we've embraced, Holy Spirit, your law is in us, the law of life, bringing in the reality of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He's taken us out of Adam, that power of that sinful nature. He's taken us out. He's brought us into Christ, who's broken that power of sinful nature. So now we are no longer slaves to that sinful nature. Now we are slaves to righteousness. And as we're offering ourselves as this incredible, glorious, living sacrifice, which is so holy and pleasing unto God, what's taking place? The people that may accuse us will be able to see what God is doing through our lives and glorify Him. There's a fruit of righteousness. It's how the Holy Spirit can convict the unrighteous people of their sin. So they see us as a body of Christ living in the reality of the kingdom of God within us. What's taking place? Our lives are being transformed. We are now becoming, as Paul would say over there, it leads to holiness. More and more and more. We are being transformed more and more into His likeness, conformed into His likeness. More and more we are becoming who we are in Christ Jesus. More and more. And the world can now begin to see a different standard of what is truth, what is righteous. The world can begin to see no longer a compromised believer that's so worldly, but now they can begin to see, here's a man, here's a woman, here's a child, that they can see something different. They're not a slave to sin like everybody else is. They live a life that's righteous. Powerful testimony. And then Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict them of what sin is all about. Now there's a standard. Now there's a standard of righteousness here in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts the unsaved and says, wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, so that they can see, they can be tested, they can see the glory of God and give their life to Jesus Christ. Prepare the mind for action. Prepare the mind for action. That's where we are. That's where we're moving more and more. It's a decision that we make. I'm going to offer my mind to be a weapon of righteousness. Profound. Because when we offer our minds as a weapon of righteousness, we speak differently. It affects our emotions. Gives us understanding. It takes us out of this unrighteous thing, and we begin to understand what it is to be seated with Christ, to have the mind of God in this situation. And it changes everything. So we are on an amazing journey. There's a passion that God is birthing in all of us to be able to go and say, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And as you offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What does Peter say? Then you will begin to know the perfect will of God. I think you will find, and some of you will understand what I'm saying now, you will experience more and more what Emma was saying, the emotion of God. Because when we're offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, when we are offering our members of our bodies to be weapons of righteousness, we begin to have the desire of God because we begin to hate unrighteousness. And we begin to love the things that honor God. We have a desire that changes everything. See, Jesus, when Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians, it's the love of Christ that compels us. It's not just his love for us. Jesus loved the Father and brought glory to the Father. It's that same love that brings for us. For we won't go about bringing glory to our Father. We have the desires of our Father. We want him to be glorified. And that changes our behavior. We won't get involved in stuff that doesn't bring honor and glory to the Father. We honor him. The love of Christ compels us to love our Father and to love one another. Prepare the mind for action. In the Message Bible in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, let me just quote this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, or going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. And like the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. And I think this message can really understand this Romans 12, 1 and 2 quite well. It says so good. Because the culture will just take us down to its level, the ways of the world. We're in a kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. And the practical way for you and I to get established in that is what we've been looking at in that Romans 6. So let me just conclude by reading that Romans 6 once again. When we read over here, now if we died with Christ, well, let's go back. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. Prepare the mind for action. So that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. This is our reality, being born again by the Holy Spirit. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death has no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Now, prepare the mind for action. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, because we've got our mind prepared for action in context of receiving that truth and accepting that truth by faith. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. So we're going to fall, but we're not going to let it rule us. The difference, we might get angry and fall or say something or have a thought or whatever it may be, but we're not going to let that rule us. We're going to take that captive. And we say, no, I'm not going to now. Now that emotions or those fears and those thoughts and that comes into me, I'm not going to let it rule now. I'm not going to offer my mind. I'm not going to offer my members of my body to do that. Now, Lord, I'm offering it to you. See, that's the transformation part. That's the reality now of being established and allowing the rule of the Holy Spirit working within us. Many believers, I remember once, years back, I don't know, Steve, you were here, but speaking on this, and it's just like, no, it's not working for me, because it's just an intellectual knowledge. I've never yet begin to practice and get it established. Just like the parable of the sower, the message of the kingdom is spoken, and if there's no understanding, it gets stolen. So you've got to get understanding of what God is saying. You've got to take it in, get it established. You've got to persevere. And then there's the fruit of this truth. And then we start to experience more and more of the life of the Holy Spirit. We experience the joy of the gift of righteousness because it's now being established as a fruit. And that fruit is not only for us. People now begin to experience that fruit of righteousness within your life and my life. And that's what the reality of the kingdom of God touching people's lives around us, because they can begin to experience that fruit. And so he says over here, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself, first of all, offer yourselves to God, as those who have been brought from death to life. Renew the mind for action. Consider the truth that what Christ has done and who we are in him. Consider the truth of what it is to be in the kingdom of God. As those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Powerful truth. So, you may begin to say, but what's happening within me? And it's probably because the Holy Spirit is stirring up and helping us to realize, although we're living in this world, as a born-again believer, you're in a kingdom. I want to teach you how to live in the kingdom. I want to teach you how to clothe yourself in righteousness by appropriating this practice of offering yourself, offering your mind, your thoughts, offering your tongue, offering your eyes. And this will be very helpful for folk that may be addicted to pornography, because this truth is very, very powerful. You're no longer a slave to sin. There's no excuses about this. This is truth. This is powerful. This is God's word. And you can start to help people that's addicted to pornography and say, listen, you're going to offer your eyes to that, or you're going to now stop because of the power of God that's operating, and you can now begin to offer your eyes to rather something different. See, this is very practical. It's powerful. It's appropriating the law of the Spirit of life within us, the kingdom of God within us, the rule of God within us. How can we say that God rules in our lives? How can we as believers go and announce that God is the King of Kings, and within ourselves, we're not experiencing the rule of Christ in our own lives, and we keep on submitting and we keep on offering ourselves to unrighteousness? So all of us are righteous here, but this is for those that you can share with in your workplace. Every thought. How do we think about our spouses? How do we think about people around us? Is my mind a mind a weapon of righteousness. How do we demolish strongholds? It's by us offering our mind as a weapon of righteousness. Our tongues, our ears. If any of you find yourself listening to all this gossip, YouTube stations about running down the, it's normally they're running down the royal family. What's her name? Meghan and all those people. And they're just running down, gossiping there. Stop. Don't lend your ear as an instrument of unrighteousness. Don't listen to that stuff. See, it's very practical. It's very practical what we lend our ears to. Let it be an instrument of righteousness. Listen to the Holy Spirit and respond quickly, as we saw there, Message Bible. So, Father, thank you today. We're going to have the time where we can just sit with you, Jesus. One of the most amazing things that you said to the Father, and you said, Father, glorify me that I may bring glory to you. That is mind-blowing. And we ask, Father, glorify us with the law of your Spirit and the transformation taking place, that we're becoming more and more like your Son Jesus, that we may glorify you here on earth. Because you've placed us here. And we thank you for that. Jesus, thank you that you've prayed for us. Thank you for your prayers of intercession. For the Father to protect us from the evil one. Thank you that you have set us apart. And you've sent us into the world. And we're asking today that each and every one of us, by your Holy Spirit, as we practice just offering ourselves, I want to thank you that then we will begin to know your will, Father, for our lives. Then we begin to have an understanding of what you are saying to us, not only as an individual, but as a family, that we can follow your ways. So, Father, as we come and we have communion this morning, and maybe many here can say the same, but I stand and I say, Father, I offer myself as an instrument of your righteousness. And we can say amen as we all just, maybe you'll be the time when you're responding, Father, here, I offer myself. I offer my mind as a weapon to destroy the destructive work of unrighteousness, as your weapon of righteousness. Where I'm there in meetings and in school and at work, where I'm in an environment and there's so much negativeness going past, Father, my mind to be a weapon of righteousness, to have your understanding on what to do at that very moment, so that I can rather release a powerful life to demolish the strongholds, to demolish the arguments that are coming up in that meetings. And we thank you. Lord, you placed us in a town. Why? Why is it so important to you, Jesus, that we respond to this? Why is it so important to you? Take us into your emotions. Take us into your thoughts. Take us in, Lord Jesus, to get an understanding of why it's so important to you and to the Father and to you, Holy Spirit. Why is it so important to this nation? Oh, open it up, Father. Open it up. So that we don't live for ourselves. But Father, we begin to understand why, what you're sharing, the truth that you're sharing, why it is so important to you. Not only for us, not only for our town, but for our nation and the nations. So Jesus, as we sit with you and we just enjoy what you did and receive what you have done for us. Speak to us. Lord, I'm asking that there will be such a moment in our lives, even now, where we can really experience the freedom of just truly surrendering and saying, yes, Lord, I offer everything who I am to you. And this, Father, I ask. I'm asking, Father, that there will be such an alignment by faith this morning as we receive what you're sharing, just simply by faith, to align ourselves into the reality of being in your kingdom through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.